This is the Planning Commission work session for Thursday, October 4th, 2018.
Okay.
Good evening, Planning Commission members. This is just to give you quickly, it's a heads up. Your actual work session on the freight rail dependent uses is scheduled for November 1st. I just want to give you a heads up of what you're going to be hearing from us in more detail at your work session on November 1st. And we have some tentative dates for your hearing on the federal dependent uses. But I want to share with you the direction that we got from the council yesterday. That direction is that we advance to a hearing, which will be a joint hearing between you and the council. It is your hearing. The council will be there to listen to the testimony, so that they're hearing the testimony together with you. After that testimony, you and the council may close oral testimony. But written testimony will be open until the council makes their final decision. But what happened is that after that joint hearing, the council will go away, you will deliberate separately and make a recommendation to the council. That's how this will work. So the direction from the council yesterday is to advance to a hearing on the recommendation of the Railroad Advisory Committee. We will be discussing in depth, just in the form of a background, the recommendation of the Advisory Council. But what you will be seeing is, what the Council asked us to advise is, we've seen this before, and Jose will have the map available. What they ask us to advance is no change to the overlay area that you saw and the council adopted January 9th. Okay? They also ask us to advance the recommendation of the advisory council. One, you can see that on bullet number two. The development regulation includes uses that will be allowed in the overlay area. They use this, what they asked us to advance is the development regulation that included all the uses, including uses that you could consider as light manufacturing and heavy manufacturing. So what they've asked us to do is to advance for your consideration uses that include the heavy industry and uses that exclude them. Or consider whether all the uses should be conditional use. Those are the things that you will be considering at your hearing. The other final item you're going to be considering is amendment to the comprehensive plan policies to allow not only development Title 40, but also to amend the comprehensive plan policies to allow for sewer to be served in the overlay areas. That's the three items that you're going to be considering when you have your hearing. What will staff do? We will be coming to you, hopefully by November 1st, we will have some kind of a hearing packet. That's what we typically do. And then at that work session, you will have the opportunity to ask us questions and clarifications or whatever the case may be. What you can see here is that the draft timelines, we have not put the date for your hearing. We have asked that there are 2 days that we are waiting for confirmation. November 8th is one. If the council can and the Planning Commission members, we have a quorum, and the council members, there's no conflict on their schedule for November 8th. You can have that joint hearing on November 8th. I have asked the county manager see whether that's a go. If not, you will fall back. The fallback is to be December 6th for your joint hearing with the council. When you will deliberate, I don't know yet. If you do November 8th, you may deliberate when? November 15th. That's if the joint hearing occurs on November 8th. When the council will deliberate, I don't know. But if you deliberate on the 15th, assuming you have your joint hearing with the council on November 8th and deliberate on November 15th, you can make your recommendation to the council on November 15th. Then the council hearing and considering your recommendation could occur maybe on December 6th. I don't know. But I have not, you know, calendar those dates yet. I just want to give you a heads up that that's what's coming, so you're prepared. I don't have a lot to share with you tonight because we are putting the package together as we speak. The direction was given yesterday, so I don't have a package to give to you today, but hopefully I will have something before November 1st. So I will do the first question.
So I guess I just want to be clear, regardless of whether it's November 8th or December 6th, after that joint session, we're going to close public testimony.
Oral. Yes, sir.
So written testimony can come in after that, email testimony, is there an online way of testifying, so those of testimony would still be open.
But that closure of oral testimony will include that the county councilors will not take any more oral testimony as well.
That would be my take on that, yes, because if you close oral testimony in your joint hearing with the council, the hearing is something that you're closing oral testimony. I'm anticipating that they too will close oral testimony, but will be open to written comments. That's how you've done it in the past. The written comments can be now on the recommendation of the Planning Commission because they've already testified. If they're not going to be oral testimony, how can they comment on the recommendation of the PC if it's not to their liking? They can submit written comment to the council.
So I guess I would like to voice a concern in contentious subjects such as this. We have historically had hundreds of people come forward and drive hearings late into the night and kept people for very long periods of time, and sometimes from what they hear things change. If we're not satisfied and it's our hearing, we have the ability to keep it open.
If you want to continue it, that's your call. I have said this not only to this body but also to my own staff and to the council. When an item goes into a hearing, we don't have control anymore. You can ask for a continuance. The council can ask for a continuance, but this is a joint. What I'm afraid is, not afraid, but what could be a challenge as you are alluding to is, if you have, let's say, 100 or 200 folks that show up and want to testify, do you want to use the 3 minutes rule? I don't know. It's your meeting.
Well, that's still 300 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but do you want to start early? 600. It could be 600.
Could be 600.
Yeah, so do you want to start early? I don't know. But typically we start your hearing at 6:30. How long do you want to go? You want to accommodate everyone? You may open it up. But I'm afraid, I don't want to ask you to begin your deliberation that night because you might run towards 10 and 11 p.m. I'm not anticipating that you will begin your deliberation that evening. There is no rush.
Well, okay. There is a presumption of this being kind of rigid, I guess. And I'm a little concerned about that because as a group, we've had a couple of highly attended hearings, and I think they've already stretched this kind of thin, and this might be at the top of the list as far as what we could expect for turnout. So
it could, and it may not. One of the things that could, although I know that some folks are here in the audience, because the council have given us direction that it be limited to the general overlay map, what we will do is send out a notice. We promise the community out there that we will notify them when the hearing comes. So we will be sending out a postcard or a notice that says, you know, the area of influence is much smaller than what they saw before. So hopefully that may, you know, lessen who may be impacted, but I know that there's a lot of interest out there. I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, going to the January map lessens the, you know, area of influence, if I may use that term. It is that 500 feet, or their map was another 500 feet, so it may be much smaller, but, you know, that's what we have to work with. It could mean that folks outside that boundary will still show up to testify in one way or the other. I don't know.
When's our work session?
November 1st.
If November 8th works, we would go November 1st. Even if November 8th doesn't work, we'd probably just come back November 1st since there's a lot of materials to get through.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all I have. Unless you have any more questions for me.
I do. I'm just trying to get caught up on the whole joint thing. What's the purpose of doing that? What is the purpose of doing the joint? I'm just asking, why are we doing the hearing together?
In a subject just like this, in a project just like this, because there is community interest, often it's very helpful that the Planning Commission and the Council have a joint work session so that they're hearing the same testimony. It is beneficial that they're hearing the same testimony.
Okay.
It makes folks also come out if they know that oral testimony is going to be closed. They want to come out and say their piece. Mm-hmm. They may still have the opportunity to write the council until the council makes the final decision. But it gives that opportunity for the council and the planning commission, particularly the council, to hear the same testimony. That's really the benefit.
Okay. I'm just curious. All right.
One of the things I'd like to have legal opinion on is the sewer, as far as the state conflict with the sewers that we want put in. There is a conflict.
I'm not going to do what you mean.
Well, if we're going to vote on this, I think we need a legal opinion.
I am not going to get legal opinion.
I don't mean here now. I mean when we have our hearing.
I'm not going to do it then either.
So we're going to vote on something that could be in non-compliance with state ordinance.
It's possible. We've done it before.
Okay.
You know, I will defer to legal, but, you know, if the council has asked us to advance or amend our comp plan to include a certain sewer to serve the overlay. If that's before you and you yourself don't believe that it is, you make a recommendation to the council. You ask a very good question. I don't have the answer for you now, but you're going to get a staff report from staff as you typically will get. There are criteria in the comp plan that we have to address, and you got to see how we address that, and then ask your question. That's all I can say at this point. Each time we come before you, there are four or five criteria that we address. So it's up to you to, you know, reach a conclusion or finding somehow that we have adequately addressed those criteria.
Well,
I changed the agenda on you so that, you know, I don't want to take all your time, but just want to give you a heads up on the direction we have from the council yesterday. What are we advancing to appeal? And I know some of you here have been waiting patiently to speak to you, so I would ask that you continue to have patience. You have an opportunity when we go to a hearing to say your piece. But work sessions, as you have come to the council since September 26th and yesterday, you have not had the opportunity. A hearing, no work. Okay? Thank you, Planning Commission. And thank you, Bill and Lori. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was a tough act to follow here, Bill. It's a tough act to follow now. Yeah.
We don't want to lose
the main
issues. Okay.
Thank you. Go for it.
All right. Well, good evening, commissioners. My name is Phil Gierke. I'm the parks manager. And we're here to talk about an update to the parking tax fee program. And so with that, we're talking about the inclusion of trails into the parking tax fee program. And so I wanted to give you a quick PowerPoint to go through. We'll start off with the background. So back in 2014 is when Clark County Parks was created. After the interlocal was dissolved between the city of Vancouver and Clark County, commonly known as Vancouver Park Parks. So our first order of business was to create a parks division within Clark County under Public Works. And then shortly thereafter, we formed a Parks Advisory Board. And then our first mission was to update our Parks Recreation Open Space Plan, which was updated since 2013. And largely, we did that because that's what makes us eligible for grant applications. So we cannot go out for state grants without an updated proposal. Okay. So the State Growth Management Act grants cities and counties the authority to assess parking tax fees on new development. In 2016, the county approved an update to the parks new tax fee program to reflect the cost. And the cost has been updated since the year 2003, so we're woefully behind. And I did come here and present to the Planning Commission back in 2016 regarding that, and that was approved. So at the direction of the County Council, we initiated a review for the fifth revision to include the trails acquisition and development into the SIP program. And to date, the Planning Commission has maintained a programmatic application of impact fees for urban park areas, open space, and the state statute and county code are silent on the usage of impact fees, and that's why I need to address this with you, because we want to make sure that it is truly spelled out that trails are inclusive in the county code. So Title 40 more narrowly defines PIP than much may be allowed, so we're not comfortable that it is silent, and so we want to make sure that it is duly noted in the county code. So discussions for the usage of impact fees have been talked about for many, many years, since the 1990s, and we're actually going to take that step right now and try to get that included. So just, I don't know if the action has actually been implemented in the past and been approved, but I don't think it actually made it to the point where people may be able to do that. So I want to make sure that does happen. It is supported by the county council, and I myself support it. I think it's a great opportunity, and it's the number one recreational month. from the people that we pulled in each and every one of our coast plans. In fact, that's typically the highest recreational use in many cities and counties around the state and the nation. So people like trails, and it's our intent to try to parcel the building. So for the Unified Development Code, 40.620.020, the following is the formula for the calculation. Now, granted, this TIF calculation is simplified greatly. If you look into the TIF document that you have in your packet, it actually shows the entire formula. It shows the acquisition, the development, and the per capita, and how that formula is arranged. So what we're recommending is that we modify the formula to include the trails into the capital projects. And then parks boundaries is another subject. We were going to talk about that as well. Originally, we were talking about consolidation of the TIF districts that we've got right now, but we're going to hold off on that for a while. There's nothing really wrong with them. So we just thought that would ease our ability if we were to use the funds for trails, that we wouldn't have to start spending out of several different TIF accounts. We can have three instead of six, if you will. But we'll address that maybe next year or the year after. So what you see up here is basically the entire urban area of Clark County is highlighted and surrounded with the red dotted line. The heavily shaded area is the incorporated Clark County, which is the city of Vancouver. The lighter shaded area is the unincorporated urban area, and that is the area that Clark County controls. Within that area, we share PIP 5, PIP 6, PIP 7, PIP 8. Just mostly, we've got most of PIP 7, PIP 8, we have all of PIP 9, and PIP 10. So this map is a little bit outdated. The city of Vancouver no longer goes by numerical count. They actually have a PIP A, B, and C. And that alignment is goes A would be west of I-5, B is in between I-5 and 205, and C is east of 205. So at some point in time, if we were to consolidate districts, we might do the same thing, if you will, on the county side. But for right now, we'll stick with our PIPs 5 through 10. So the Clark County Title 40 repeats verbatim the definitions for public facilities and system improvements from the RCWs for its local impact fee. So it's in line with the state. Public facilities include parks, open space, and recreation facilities. The common industry interpretation would include trails as recreation facilities. And there are numerous facilities or numerous other jurisdictions throughout the state that actually have already implemented that. So we've got, I know it's in our, there's a, I haven't looked at this a bit, so we'll see. Locally, we've got the La Center, Bridgefields, we've got Olympia, we've got Pierce County, and there's quite a few more. There's several different entities out there that have actually already exercised it in the TIF program, so we'd like to follow suit if we could. So current county plans contain goals, policies, and supporting documentation regarding planned or recommended capital improvements to enhance and expand the recreational trail system. So there's several documents out there that support the trail systems. One is the TROS plan. In the TROS plan, we have a capital facilities plan that actually spells out all the trail projects that we have planned in the next 6 years, as well as the next 20 years. There's a total of $10 million in projects. You know, that is through different means of funding, and we'd like to have TIF included to help us fund some of those trails that are identified as high priorities.
Bill, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Since the common interpretation includes trails as, quote, recreation facilities, unquote, where is the disconnect in Title 40 to using TIF to fund?
It's silent. It doesn't say anything about trails in there. It basically says parks.
Okay.
So we would want to make sure that, to be in compliance, we want to make sure that it actually states trails.
Okay, so it's the TIF side, not the Title 40 side.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would add that one of the changes in Title 40, and that is in Exhibit
The Title 40 code changes are in Exhibit 1, and it's in the first tab of your binder after the staff report. In the 40-100, in the definition, you already include trails and recreational facilities.
It's actually going to come up here.
Okay.
So basically what you see up here on the screen is the language that we would add into the explanation. So including the red language would say the impact fee component for parks, open space, and recreational facilities. In the red it says which include the acquisition or development of public open spaces devoted to public parks, playgrounds, and trails or other recreational purposes shall be calculated using the column formula. So using the formula down below or just for adding the plus trails cost. So it's fairly common, very clearly stated.
And that's located in tab 1 of your binder, right after the staff report in exhibit 1.
So what that would look like to the existing fees are now, so if you look in the left-hand column, that is the current TIF fees for single-family residences as well as multi-family residences. The second column actually shows the inclusion of the calculation for TIF district. And so what the inclusion of trails includes is, with the trails, it amounts to $68 per capita or per person. And so your current single-family dwelling is the percentage is like 2.4 people per home. So you'll see that in the second column, that is the actual increase. So it's about $120. And so in the third column, because we've done a recent park impact fee increase, we decided not to increase fees. The third column actually shows what the first column shows. So even though we are including the fifth calculation into the trails in the fifth calculation, we're not actually going to increase fees at this time. So we've presented this to the Development Integrated Advisory Board and our Parks Advisory Board as well, and they both were in agreement with this plan. So.
And can I ask what's the purpose of waiting? When are we planning to implement them?
We've recently increased park impact fees starting in 2017. So we went through a fifth revision in 2016. It was approved. And okay. So it was a pretty substantial jump from the 2003 rates.
Okay.
And so, we got some pushback from that. And we're pretty sensitive to yet increasing one more time the rates so soon. So we'll hold off until a later time after the increases have fully implemented, and then at some point in time we will implement those rates.
Okay. Okay.
Makes sense.
So the way that the an increase of about 140% from the results of the study, and that was to be implemented at 80% the first year, which was 2017, 90% in 2018, which is this current year, and 100% in 2019. So in 17, 18, and 19, those 50s are raising right now. So after 2019, after we've maxed out the increase of the 50s, we'll probably take a look at adding trails in that.
What's the forecasted loss of revenue for trials as a result of these trails?
There's a small cost. It's not a huge increase by adding the trails based on the trails that we've got in our plan. There will be lesser amounts, but we didn't think that the community would really appreciate another increase right now as we're in the process of already increasing 50s. So there will be a monetary loss because of this, but I'm okay with taking this route.
So, Bill, once we pass this language, if we pass this language, though, it legitimizes the idea of what you are getting in the way of PIF fees, being able to use it on trails, if that's an appropriate use of the funds now, right? So, Robin, I think maybe we're not getting full value about what could be in the full coffers, but the legitimacy of using it for trails is...
Yeah, as long as we have people understand that this is the number one recreational activity and that a deferral of that decision has a consequence financially, which means it's close to the amount of investment that can be made into the trail system is the number one activity. There's something else get pushed down the ladder to put more money up for trails. That's
what will happen if we include trails, then we will have less money for park acquisition and development. So
it might slow down our rails to trails proposition.
So just so you know, if we implement the trails, then any of the money that, let's say, it gets approved for 2019, any of the money that we collected up until that approval, we can't use on trails. It's considered half of that.
So Bill, if this proceeds and is approved, you promise not to covet road fund anymore for trails?
Covet road fund?
Yeah. I know there's always road fund sitting out there that seems to be a target of some for trails.
I've never used road fund for trails.
You should be.
You shouldn't have told him about it. Now he's going to be looking at it. There's money out there?
Well, the one thing that's got going in the right direction right now is real estate excise tax dollars are up.
Oh, good, yeah.
And back before the Great Recession, if you will, parks have 50% of all real estate excise tax due. The REIT 2 funding, and of course that all was all canceled out and went to debt service only. So with the money that's in it right now, I believe there's about $16 million in real estate excise tax monies. We're actually now able to go after some decision packages to include that back into our revenue stream, or not for acquisitions, but for development. So that is, and for capital repairs of our parks. So right. I'm really excited about that ability. With that, when it comes to TIF, there's one thing I want you to know about the use of park impact fees, is we're not supposed to use it exclusively for projects. It has to be shared with a public share account. So public share is anything but this. So real estate excise taxes, grants, any kind of other money's coming in is public share. But we have to balance TIF dollars with public share. So that is great news that we've got real estate excise tax dollars in there. So that we've never been able to use. We do have to share that money with roads. We have to share it with, I believe it's the wastewater folks as well. Yeah, so we have to, and it can be used for railroad. But anyways, it's we're looking at trying to get that 50% of our share back in real estate excise dollars. So I've got $11 million, I believe, that I'm asking for capital repairs and park developments in 2019. So it's coming our way.
Very good.
So our recommendation is that the council of the time is to implement the text amendment to Title 40 to appropriate trails in the program and to keep the current TIF rate as is and on the previously approved schedule for phase implementation. So once again, we're going to see another TIF increase in 2019. That will be the 100% full implementation of the TIF increases that we initiated in 2017. And so then after that, and we'll probably take a serious look at including the cost of the trails into the TIFs. So here's our series of outreach. We've met with engineering, our development engineering advisory board already, and we have actually met with our parks group, and then now we're meeting tonight with you with the planning commission, and then they also have a hearing coming up with the planning commission. And after that, we go into the series with the council. So a work session and a hearing thereafter. Oh, yes, that's right. I'll meet with the Builders Industry Association on Monday as well to give the presentation and seeking their support and approval to move forward with this.
Any questions?
I have a couple of basic ones.
type of surfaces we're talking about, whether it be hard, semi-hard, natural, and who can engage with the trails.
So the trails that we try to build are all abilities, as much as possible. We'd like to have them, our preference is 10 to 12 feet wide, hard surface like asphalt or concrete. Some trails in the urban uncarpeted area, it's highly likely that it's going to be a hard surface. I don't foresee gravel trails until we get out to the rural areas, where equestrians are more favored. But in the urban uncarpeted area, it's going to be asphalt or concrete. For the purpose of the
urban area,
yes.
And that's therefore, in the urban area, there'd be no equestrian or quads or motorcycles, anything like that.
Not on trails. No. Yeah. Well, we've got some parts that are equestrian friendly, like Sand Creek Greenway, for instance, is an equestrian friendly trail. So we do allow horses there. So, but for the most part, we're not going to allow horses to walk through up and down the highway at night or anything like that. I mean, there's certain places that they will be allowed, certain places that they won't. But it's basically for pedestrians walking, bicyclists, rollerbladers, and then of course ADA accessible as much as possible. Any other questions?
Yeah. It's great.
I look forward to meeting
love trails. I walk on trails all every night in Ridgeville.
Vote twice. I don't think I'm going to be here.
What? You going to be here? You going on a vacation?
Gentlemen.
Oh, okay. You're going to go kill Bambi's grandpa, huh?